I was reading
one of those IEEE magazines, and they have like a way of doing.
I can hear your ringing phone.
Square root of negative I is somehow ends up being a real number, and I was just totally like, my mind was blown. I was like, no way.
The square root.
Negative I.
It was. I think that was the problem. But I may be wrong.
That makes sense.
Hey, this is Nathan. Leave your name and number
at the tone. Please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. To leave a callback number, press 5.
Leave a callback number of 6.
That was my favorite moment the other night.
Hello, Nathan. We miss you.
So, yeah,
goodbye.
Bye, Nathan.
All right. It is Wednesday, November 17th. This is the second episode of our podcast, which is yet to be named. We're looking for names for that. We'll come up with something interesting here soon, I hope. We're Makers Local 256. This is our podcast about hackerspaces, and I'm going to try to say less this podcast. My name is Matt. I go by Brimstone Online.
My name is also Matt. I go by Matt Online.
I don't have a real name. I only have online persona. Cherry.
My name's Tim. I go by Crash Cart. Sometimes Crash Override.
Interesting.
Just for you.
Interesting.
Bring up my notes for this week's. All right, so the first story I've got is Alpha One Labs' Carduino. If anybody's seen that, looks pretty interesting. It
What's
is
the Carduino?
It is a. I've got a picture of it here pulled up. Like nobody can see though.
Sorry,
there's a link to it in the notes.
Is it like
no,
a car?
This is the Carduino. We're talking about the Freakduino next.
Oh, sorry. Got confused in the head.
The Carduino is a business card-sized PCB that has an Atmega compatible Arduino and everything on it. It's got a USB programming an actual USB port on one side to program it, so you don't need extra cables or anything. And there's a little bit of proto board space too, so you can build out your own whatever you want on it.
So wait, let's back it up for a second. What exactly is the Arduino?
Good question. The Arduino is a, how to describe this? It is open source hardware and software designed by a group in Italy to teach microprocessors and microcontrollers to people who don't already know about them. But
the idea was to bring costs down and make it more accessible to everyone.
It's really cheap. They standardized on the pinouts from the microcontroller that they're using, the Atmega something or another.
168, and now the 328.
328. Yeah, the Carduino here has the 328 PMU, it says, which I guess probably includes the USB stuff already in it.
No, they're probably doing that with the FTDI chip on there. I haven't... Here.
Maybe. But, yeah, so it uses a derivative of C to program it, so it's not, like, really complicated or anything like other microcontrollers out there. They're about $30 or so for an official... Decimilanova from Arduino, or there's, since it's all open source hardware and software, there's been a couple of knockoffs and shapes and of all shapes and forms and colors, and this is just the latest one that I've seen in the shape of a business card that already has all of the additional components and plugs and whatnot in it.
Yeah, it looks like they're doing what the Arduino Uno does, which is the newest version of the Arduino from the main people, and that they are using another microcontroller that has USB support to be the interface to the standard 168, 328 platform that everybody's already used to.
Yep, so it looks like a neat card, Arduino, neat board, I guess is what you'd say, a neat board platform. You can buy it right off their site, $40. It can be yours.
Awesome.
Does that include the, like, assembled? Or is that $40 unassembled?
Yeah, was that just me, or was that just a teeny bit on the expensive side?
That is assembled.
Oh, that's nice.
And everything. That is ready to go. You plug
that's
it in and go.
Expensive.
The kit, they said, is $35.
Mm-hmm.
Did I miss it? Did you say where the name for it came from?
I don't know. Probably because it looks like a card.
Oh.
It is the shape of, like, a business card type
card,
thing.
Do we know?
I kept hearing
the wrong word.
It does not have anything to do with ODB2, which is the protocol used to interface to most cars made after 1996.
Now, see, that's a shame. I would love to have a
Carduino. It is a Carduino.
I mean, we have the chips here at the shop, Tim.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
It's pretty simple to interface. Like, you could.
I thought you worked on that.
See, ideas.
I did. That's why
project.
I have the chips.
Whatever happened with that project?
It died on the vine.
The next story I've got, I found, I guess, online next item, is the... Let me say this right. The Freakduino Chibi?
Come again?
From Freak Labs. It's based off of one guy's open source Zigbee 802.15.4 board and antenna project. But this is now wrapped up inside a single board. It's inside a waterproof case that is also no screws or anything to get into, which is really interesting.
Wow.
Houses the board, houses a 9-volt battery. The board has the Zigbee 802.15.4 transmitter receiver on it already. The board is Arduino Shield compatible and Arduino compatible, I believe.
You run the same firmware?
So, yeah, you can just write Arduino code right to the board. It already uses shields that are available. It's designed to be like a wireless sensor node, to be in part of a sensor mesh network or something. The case is what really intrigues me, in that there's just two parts that fit together, front and a back. And then there's this piece of rubber that goes around the edges to hold the whole thing together. So there's no
screws. And it's
screws.
Just held together through tension?
Yeah, it's just held together through tension then. So there's no screws or whatever to get in it to change the battery.
Wow.
And the whole thing is a waterproof case. Probably reasonably shock resistant too if it were to fall from its perch wherever it was sensoring.
Did they have like suggested uses or thoughts why they designed it that way?
I haven't read too much into it. It's a guy in Tokyo, related with the Tokyo hackerspace out there, who was looking at what some guys in NYC Resistor did with cigar boxes, what one guy at the Tokyo hackerspace did with his Tupperware carrying case, and some guys from the Hackers on a Plane exhibit putting together, or the Hackers on a Plane event putting together. Circuits in a common area of a Tokyo hostel is what it says.
Uh-huh. It's interesting.
And then he decided to base it off the Arduino platform, built a case, and good to go. Thoughts? Comments? Smirks?
It looked pretty.
It comes in five different colors.
I thought
sounds
it was
like
a great
red, yellow, blue, black, and green.
No pink?
No pink. There's red.
Maybe if I washed it
I'm out. Curious how long it'll last. Like if you were to top out the chip without any... power performance optimization stuff.
It really depends on what code's running on it, more than anything.
Yeah. If it's in constantly polling or constantly in a loop.
It sounds like they seriously thought about some added capability though too. So that's great to see that coming out.
It looks like it'll hold one shield, and I mean there's shields for everything out there now. So
you said it's running off a 9-volt and has the Zigbee on it.
Yep.
So I would say that's only like. Maybe a little less than a day, I think,
running
everything on full.
Forgive my ignorance, but what is the Zigbee?
Zigbee is a wireless protocol spec, kind of like Bluetooth or Wi-Fi, except it's not IP-based, but it's just a data bus. It doesn't have, it's actually very loosely, I mean, there's not a lot to it, it's just that you're on the 2.4 gigahertz spectrum, and you're sending out data. There's some stuff for identifying devices, so you can like have multiple devices on the same kind of network. But aside from that, there's not a lot to it. It's useful on a lot of these like sensor.
It's
projects.
Really simple. It's fairly long range as well.
Yeah.
So the advantages of it are that
low power. It's easy to write to, both hardware and software wise. Pretty much just plug in and go. Or in this case, it's already been assembled into the board, so you just access it on whatever pins.
Well, this seems not only fabulous, but really marketable. Amazed no one's really contacted him yet. I wonder if they have.
He says that he'll have kits available.
When did they start this?
I heard about it recently, last week or so. Okay. He got a lot of pictures on his website, too. Actually, I didn't actually scroll all the way down this.
I mean, I'll be honest, I'm more interested in how he put the actual box together. Like, that it's holding together with tension, and no screws, or any cool little things to lose and or not use. You know how you always have that last screw from whatever project you're using? Where does this go? I don't know. It goes away.
Oh, there was an update to his site today. Actually, he has sold out. He was not expecting as much
demand
as before, so he only made a small batch, and it is gone. So he's hoping to restock, so they'll be available soon. But
so there is demand for such products, is what
you're saying. It's a neat project.
Interesting.
Like I said, more than anything, I'd be like wanting to get just the box to play with. Like, am I the only one?
Get on the waiting list.
I will. You can have the hardware, sir. I just want the box.
I saw another totally segue and marginally unrelated is I saw a Adafruit, I think, was holding. It might have been Make. I'm not sure now. Was holding a contest for building creative and unique data loggers. I think primarily for logging temperature, but really anything at that point. Hmm. And there was one where the guy mainly focused on longevity and his power supply design. So he actually was able to use a quote-unquote dead single AA battery that would not power a cordless mouse. And he was able to power his little PIC microprogrammer and log the temperature inside his refrigerator for like 8 to 10 hours. Off this supposed dead battery, as he's got just crazy optimization stuff in both hardware and software.
Tim, what's that thing called? The thing to rob a dead battery of even more power.
Jewel thief.
That would be a jewel thief.
Jewel thief. Was he using that to get to build up power to a capacitor? Or?
Kind of.
I imagine it's a similar circuit.
It wasn't the same magnet loop technology that the jewel thief uses, but it was. He was charging a capacitor and then letting the capacitor discharge a volt
and run the
and then hit it again with the AA battery.
Mm-hmm. Has he done any tests to see how long it would last with not a dead battery?
I
mean, that's a great way
to
show what it can do, but
a lot of that honestly was over my head. It was more double E speak and whatnot on how he used a DAC to control a MOSFET to control the power for the double
overrated man.
Yeah, a lot of it actually went over my head. It seemed really cool, and I'm sure if I sat down longer and looked at it, I'd be able to understand it, but...
Okay.
It was interesting how he was recording the temperature in a refrigerated environment for 8 to 10 hours off a dead battery.
I always heard to put batteries in the refrigerator to keep them, not fresh, but, you know, lasting longer. Wouldn't that kind of help his cause with that?
Yeah. Okay. I mean, it would help some.
I'm not saying it's cheating. I'm just saying it's, like, not in the spirit of the rules and stuff.
It'd be interesting to see how well it performed outside in daylight as well, but, I mean,
I'm just wondering if it would get anywhere near the same time or if, like, Nicole actually helped it.
I would think close.
I mean, the big thing is it's just draining what little battery life is left. However he does it doesn't really matter.
I need to stick an ice pack on my iPod. That's what I need to do.
So the last story I've got to share is MakerFactory.com. In that it is, I guess, part social network, part, like, job board, in where average Joes like Matt or I would say, hey, we've got a 3D printer or a CNC machine, and we are willing to print or mill items for other people. Make us an offer. And then people can go on that board and on this website and say, I am looking for parts to be made. Who can make them for me?
This is
print
like
them out, ship them
Craigslist
across.
Or Etsy, but for manufacturing.
Exactly.
Ones like this, like I think 1,000 Garages or 10,000 Garages, I forget what the site is, but they've already been doing this. There's another one too.
Interesting.
It's similar to that.
10,000 Garages isn't quite like this, though.
This is more like one-offs, whereas
this is not so much
that you're operating a business, but you're clearly saying, I can do anything with these tools. Send me your work. Whereas this one is somebody puts up a bid request saying, somebody build me this object. Here's the STL file for it. Here's how you can create it. And give me a bid on how much it's going to cost for you to make it for me. And then people like us could bid. People with means to build things could bid. And you'll get the job or you won't get the job.
And that's a lot more. That's like Maker Factory? Or
I like it the other way around.
That's Maker Factory.
Yeah.
That's what you were talking about. 1,000 Garages is you kind of list what your shop has at its disposal. And then people can come to you and say, can you build this for me? And you can tell them yes or no.
So it's more of a bid model for MakerFactory.com.
Correct. Like that artist website, what's it called? can't remember. Where it's where people whatchamacallit? Freaknik used for their logo contest. I forget what that site's called though.
Oh, what is that site called?
But
I know what you're talking about.
They post,
but I don't
it's kind
remember.
Of like a contest.
Worth a thousand.
Worth
yes.
a thousand.
No,
that's what
please God, not that.
That's what they use for logo design.
This is where Cherry becomes like the art critic and yes. judges all.
We need to get you in contact with the organizers for next year then.
There you go.
No.
They should be using DeviantArt for
I mean, if you're going to
even worse.
If you're
going to
slam
you
onto websites,
I have to say,
you got to
put my DeviantArt stuff up. techiestar.deviantart.com just saying.
Anyways, it's a cool site. There's not a lot of work requests there yet, unfortunately. When I went, there were only like 20 that I saw.
It seemed fairly new, but there was a lot of promotion behind it, so hopefully it'll catch on. It looks like a good resource for hackerspaces to get a little bit of extra kickback for the things that they have developed. Totally opt-in, so it's not like everybody's required to go to it and print something for somebody else. I mean, if they want to, they can.
Right, that's what anyway. I like most about it. It's very much more geared to the shop to go out and figure out what they want
to
do.
To the seller or the printer.
Right. The
I don't know. You don't
creator.
Think any, like, semi-big companies will come in and secretly do it and, like, kind of take all the
under
business bid, and underbid
everybody?
I don't think there's enough money
market.
In it for them.
That's
the kind of things that are there are somebody has a bid for build me these two kitty ears to go on your head.
Or a
like,
case.
Those
oh, my God.
People.
Why did... I've got to go on this.
And
we'll build the crap out of that.
Well, they want it 3D printed, and they have the STL. You just need a 3D printer big
Again,
enough to do it. But I can't imagine that they're going to pay more than $50 for the
like
whole thing.
That sounds like mildly easy work. Yeah,
right.
That's
but
you have
the
resources.
Have
the
yeah,
you have to have the setup. But I don't think any like energy or any 3D printing shop in our town would take a $50 project.
Right.
Because their setup and destruction time is. Not worth.
No, of course, of course. And that's what the rapid prototyping and desktop manufacturing is bringing to the scene is something that you can do. You can afford to do those $50 one-offs.
Right.
And
right.
All right, so let's talk about rapid prototyping because I know a lot of people are starting to hear about this. Who wants to give definition time? Come on, someone smile.
Gosh, they look at me like I just.
Okay. Well, he's done the last two.
Because I spoke up, yeah. In my world, I don't know what to tell you is news on rapid prototyping, because it's been going on for years. And
stop being a nerd.
I'm sorry. So the idea is being able to print something physical from your computer. This way that, and it's not meant to be a durable good that you're then selling. It's meant to be a prototype. But you could do this now in an hour instead of tooling in a manufacturing yard for days. To get the prototype, that wasn't even what you were going to sell, you know. This, so you've now got stuff like MakerBot and RepRap that are printing plastic that isn't meant to be the end use device. It's meant, you know, this is now prototyped. But that's where the I think the advancement now is printing more durable goods, trying to print out of metal and print out of harder plastics that will at least stand up for that one off thing that you wanted. You know, your bearings and...
Well, what I'm more interested in about it is how it really opens up the world to, like, smaller businesses rather than having to go, you know, to these huge companies and get this...
Right, and that's true.
For example, like, a bad example is makeup because you wouldn't really do it with this, but makeup companies, actually, if you're doing cosmetics,
mm-hmm.
you go to the same company that mixes, like, Maybelline.
Oh, well, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but, like, in this way, you're able to make your small prototypes and now you can do small runs...
Right.
You know, as you need to. And it's making for a lot more interesting stuff rather than being sorted through by some big company that decides what's going to be pretty and what's not.
That's very true, too. And that's another reason it's liberating, kind of.
I like the thought of combining the 3D printer with the aluminum forge that we have and that other spaces have. You can print out your positive, cast a negative in wet sand, dry sand, or whatever. And then fill it with aluminum instead. So now you have a fairly durable part.
Right.
A replacement part or a prototype.
Right.
Model.
That's the manufacturing side that would come after the prototyping, basically.
Not terribly much more. We got a guy here that built and constructed and is using an aluminum forge, and it's not complicated at all. He's got like a brake drum, a fan, and
metal,
a bunch of charcoal.
And apply heat.
I haven't gotten to play with him. I need to play with him, don't I?
Yeah.
He's happy to show you.
Well, no. Like we were, the thing from last week that's gotten a lot more news lately is the Kinetic development that's been going on.
Yes.
has already delivered, I think, some fairly amazing things. There was a YouTube video that was released of one guy's efforts where he's already been able to take a video that he's recording in real time and shift the perspective of the camera based on the camera's ability to tell what objects are what. So he can shift the viewing angle like 15 degrees. And he starts to get shadows of where the camera doesn't know what's there. But he is essentially doing what every CSI show does.
I was about to say, are we really going to get CSI? And I'm just going to scream.
Yes.
I love when people think that's real. That's not real.
If you watch this video, you would be, holy crap.
That's just not how it happens.
It does. Now. Science.
The future.
Well, you know, you are totally fascinated with that Photoshop thing where it can, like, redraw the background. I forget the name of that filter. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I was. What's it called?
I can't think of it right now.
There's been some other interesting kinetic. Kinect? Kinect?
I think it's kinetic. Like, Kinect? Oh, it is Kinect?
Yeah, it's Kinect.
Oh, okay. I've been saying it wrong.
It shouldn't be this confusing. There's been some interesting videos based around this device where a guy was drawing with one hand in 3D and then rotating and manipulating the structure with two hands. And then he'd go back to one hand and build on it some more and spin it around again.
Oh, it's crazy.
Totally just like proof of concept stuff. But I
saw that in some movies and it was fabulous.
Combine that with a 3D printer. Like now you've got your device.
Oh my God, immediately do a prototype.
And it just comes out. Yeah. Come back in an hour and that's what you just designed with not even touching a keyboard or mouse that whole time.
That and the last one I thought of is some guy has a filter that makes your each arm like a finger on a multi-touch interface, and just acts like a multi-touch app. Works with all the multi-touch apps that are running on Windows right now. And he was showing it off, like moving around the pictures and stuff. Like it was pinching. It was really ridiculous though, because he's wailing his arms around like a madman. But it was pretty cool.
So upcoming events. We've got the Synchronous Hackathon, again, that Nathan wishes to promote. Yet again, he is not here.
Awesome.
That is this weekend. And I think we already mentioned last time that they kind of want to do it bar camp style, where each hackerspace shows off something to all the other hackerspaces. So we need to see if somebody is willing to step up for our group.
Awesome.
Show off something fun. And then I'll plug 27C3 again. They've released the schedule, the Android app. They're now taking workshop.
What was that again?
Requests for 27C3, mm-hmm. which is the 27th Chaos Community Congress, Chaos Computer Congress, in Berlin.
Oh yeah.
So.
You jerk.
You're so jealous.
A little bit.
It deals much more locally, but I know this Thursday we're also taking part in a UAH LAN party.
The local university is having a LAN party, which we will show up, try to recruit members, woo the intelligent there.
Yes.
I'll be there in case you want to see me.
Will you
the
be participating in the art show?
That doesn't have red hair.
Ah.
The art show?
Yes. There's an art contest.
I kind of know. Wait. Oh, I don't even know about this.
Uh-oh.
Art contest for what? LAN party? Or was I say UAH? I'm not sure if I'm
no
allowed
idea.
To be in that. I may have burned bridges.
Sorry. You can show up and be a booth babe.
Yeah. Y'all, I got titties. That's what I'm good for.
Mm-hmm. You hold yourself on such a high pedestal.
I know. It's like my self-esteem just grows every day. It's just amazing.
All right. To wrap this up then, to find our notes, you can go to makerslocal.org/wiki, search for podcast 2010-11-17. Or contact us on Makers Local on Freenode. Stop by, say hi, etc. Thanks.
Bye.